Driving down the interstate, watching the miles of the odometer turn over with all of the family in the car, 1 hour can quickly become three. And then somebody in the back seat says, "Are we there yet? How much longer till we arrive?" And you might think that you gave a complete, satisfactory, adequate answer to that question, but not more than 10 minutes later. Are we there yet? How much longer until we get there? But then someone wisely says, "I spy something red in the car." And everybody gets quiet. They all start looking around, making guesses. Is it the bag in the back corner of the car? Is it my shoes? Is it his shoes? Is it Mom's sunglasses? That all of a sudden, they turn their attention from the road to something red, keenly aware of all of their surroundings. Well, the Southern writer Flannery O'Connor lived her life like a game of I Spy. Having lived there in Milledgeville, Georgia, she was born in Savannah, where her childhood home still sits as a place for tourists to visit. And she was such a prolific writer known far and wide, but she predicted, as for biographies, there will not be any biographies written about me because lives spent between the house and the churchyard do not make exciting copy. Well, she could not have been more wrong, that she underestimated the power of the ordinary. And as a Catholic in the Protestant South, she was keenly aware of the intersection between faith and daily life. It's why she spent hours looking out the window of her childhood home across the square at the church. And it's why she spent so much time eavesdropping on the lives of others, pondering the question of the influence of faith. And it's why she was keenly aware of people's hardship and their hypocrisy, pondering the substance of daily life. That it's one thing to notice the presence of God in the dramatic, where Moses stand there barefoot next to the burning bush, or Balaam surprised by his talking donkey. But it's yet another thing to discover the presence of God in the midst of ordinary life, that she noticed the transcendent in the imminent, the divine in the daily. Her childhood home in Savannah is like many other buildings in those historic districts of that historic town. It was tall and skinny, multiple levels. And the first floor has these beautiful hardwoods made out of pine. And because the building was tall and skinny, the rooms were not as wide as they were long. And if you look at that room the way that Flannery O'Connor looked at life, like playing I Spy, you notice that there's one long board on the first floor that runs the entire length of the room. that all the other boards were short and pieced together like all hardwood floors are, but this one board, a solid piece of wood, runs the entire length of the room, 40 feet long. That it's how she discovered the presence of God in the ordinary. That right there beneath your feet, if you are paying attention, is something rather interesting. And I think that is the way the psalmist looked at life. As the psalmist said, taste and eat. See that the Lord is good. That whether we are sitting down to some gourmet meal or enjoying a simple peanut butter and jelly sandwich, we can experience the goodness of God. It is the same goodness that we find in digging up potatoes, picking blueberries, or collecting pecans. It is the gift of God's creation that sustains our daily lives. That we find the same grace at our ordinary tables that we find at the Lord's table. That we find the gift of community, the support of love, the invitation of grace. Whether we are sitting down to our tables at home or pulling up a chair to the Lord's table, that if we are noticing it, that we find refuge from the judgment of others, from the comparison of success, from the false standards around us, that at those tables, we are welcomed, we are embraced. Whether it is the kitchen table or the Lord's table, that God's presence is found in the midst of ordinary life. When Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God, admittedly, it didn't sound rather ordinary, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, where it refers to it as the kingdom of heaven. But thankfully, the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew bring it down to earth, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek. Blessed are those who hunger, those who thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And those who are persecuted. The Beatitudes bring us down to earth where we notice God's presence in the ordinary. That we find God in embracing humility, in crying with friends, in responding to others with gentleness, that we discover the divine in longing for justice, offering a second chance, or in telling the truth, that we are blessed in seeking out peace, or not letting the criticism of others affect what we do. Between the alarm clock going off first thing in the morning and lying down on our pillow each night, the day can easily pass us by. That life happens fast, like mile markers whizzing by the car window driving down the interstate. But in the living of these days, we can discover the extraordinary right there in the middle of the ordinary. It is the infinite in the finite, the eternal in the temporary, the divine in the daily. It's holding an infant and looking into his or her eyes and finding ourselves asking the deepest questions about this life. It's when the crowd at a concert is moving in unison to the same beat. It is the daily hours spent in the lab that all of a sudden results in a discovery that will change countless lives. It's sitting down on a mundane Saturday afternoon and reading a book, imagining the lives of others and stepping into their shoes, wondering what they must experience. That God is discovered in our daily lives as we experience that spark that animates everything that is good. That it is the spark of the holy found in the ordinary, which is what we remember on All Saints' Day. Several years ago, I got a phone call from an inpatient hospice care facility in that town because they were looking for someone to come on Ash Wednesday at the beginning of Lent to offer the imposition of ashes for all of the patients and staff. The imposition of ashes is that practice which we celebrate here in this place every year at the beginning of Lent as we begin to reflect on the meaning of our lives and on the meaning of God's steadfast love as we place the sign of the cross, the sign of God's love on our foreheads. So I went there on the morning of Ash Wednesday, and I took a couple of palm branches and some ashes, because palm branches, oftentimes from the previous year, are used to create the ashes for that year. And we gathered in this small chapel in the hospice care facility, patients and staff, and we talked about the meaning of the ashes. We prayed. We read from the Sermon on the Mount where it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." And I said what the church has always said on Ash Wednesday: from ashes we have come, and to ashes we shall return. But standing there in that room, I heard those words differently. I heard their depths, because everyone in that room stood close to the reality of death. Those words reveal to us the sheer power of God's steadfast love, not only in the face of death, but also how it illuminates the goodness of our lives. That for every person in that room, I thought about all of the lives around them that they had impacted that would never be the same. That like the sign of the cross, God's grace was shown to others through the goodness of their lives. That when we look into the eyes of the saints, we see the power of God's love, not only in the face of death, but also in the gifts of ordinary life, that we see the spark of the holy, reminding us that God is always closer to us than we can ever imagine, speaking to us in the language of ordinary life. So on this day, we are thankful for the lives of the saints and for how they have shown us the steadfast love of God. Amen.